Okay, don't, grant request?
Boy Scout Troop 198.
$1,000.
Second.
It's moved and seconded, we allow $1,000 from your account, Mr. Clark?
Yes, sir.
Rogers, yeah.
Mr. Duke, you want to give any of that money to Kenny?
No, they're not in my district. If they were in my district, I would.
Okay. Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Duke?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed.
Milton Lions Club?
It's for their handicap equipment, medical equipment program that they lease to the surrounding communities, $5,000.
Five?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Duke, would you like to?
I keep asking that. Would you like to help?
He'll chime in when he wants.
You're trying to be a troublemaker, Mr. Cole.
I'm just trying to help you.
Moved and seconded, we allow $5,000, Mr. Rogers, Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Duke?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes.
Milton Community Christmas Parade.
They're all mine tonight.
That's a good thing.
$4,000, please. I got mine.
Spending money.
Second?
Second.
Moved and seconded that we allow $4,000, Mr. Rogers, Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yeah.
Mr. Duke?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes.
First State Community Action.
$500.
$500?
Second?
It's moved and seconded that we allow $500 from Mr. Rogers, Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Duke?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed.
Broadkill Beach.
Number six is yours.
Preservation Association.
Last one's for me. Broadkill Beach Preservation Association, the community prime hook, or Broadkill area, $5,000, please.
Five?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Second.
Moved and seconded, we allow $5,000, Mr. Rogers, Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Duke?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, Citizens Family YMCA.
It's mine.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see it real quick.
Sure. They usually get human service grants, so that's what they're asking.
They only want $200,000.
Are going to land.
Make a motion, Mr. Cole.
I'll make a motion, we give $2,000 to the Sussex County.
Okay, it's $2,000?
YMCA.
Second.
It's moved and seconded, we allow $2,000, Mr. Cole? Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Duke?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes.
Southern Delaware Tourism.
Dales, this is one of your pets.
What?
It's bird watching.
Bird watching?
Yeah.
I think this is, it's throughout the county, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, nature-based tourism throughout Sussex County.
Most of the birds live on his road.
They're asking for $5,000 for nature-based tourism throughout Sussex.
Couple hundred each?
Excuse me?
Make a motion, we give $250 each.
$250? And Mr. Cole, give me the bird.
Second.
It's moved and seconded, we do $250 each, Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
No.
Mr. Duke?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes.
Lower Sussex Little League?
That's.
Us two.
Lower Sussex?
Yeah.
Oh, lower.
Phillips and Mr. Cole last time.
Yeah, they're doing a press box for the, what do you call it?
No, I'm sorry.
For the World Series?
And Mr. Phillips.
What'd they say, you need $5,000?
That's what they're asking for a press box.
Oh, it's Mr. Duke's and Mr. Phillips, that's Lower Sussex.
Lower Sussex.
That's not mine.
Lower Sussex.
I have Lower Sussex.
Lower Sussex View, Selbyville.
Where's the address, right?
I think it says Selbyville, you know, Powell Center, one of those places.
Doesn't have an address on here.
Oh, yeah, it's Phillips and I.
Okay.
Bruce Lee. Make a motion, we give.
Not who gave last on her. But anyway, that's good.
$500 each.
Second.
$500, we, what, those two?
$1,000, yeah, $500 each.
Put this one out. Oh, I put this down. What we do?
Okay.
Okay.
Moved and seconded, we allow $500 from Mr. Cole, $500 from Mr. Phillips.
Want to vote on them separately?
Jesus, where you come from?
George, I'm real flexible here.
You made the motion, Mr. Cole.
Okay, it was second.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Duke?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes.
Cheer Mobility Consortium.
Countywide, right?
Countywide.
Well.
And this is.
It was to you, Mr. Cole. The letter was to you.
Assistant.
Well, they get, we all got letters.
Beg your pardon?
Transportation programs in the county.
They do run countywide.
So that they're all, so they work together and help each other out.
We hear it says, we are requesting each councilman dedicate $1,500 to support. And I think that's reasonable. So I'll make a motion. We each give $1,500 from our discretionary funds.
Second.
This is for cheer, gentlemen.
I can't say a word. I'm just trying to make things move, Mr. Cole.
Question.
Yes.
I know this.
Cheer.
This is for the Georgetown. I mean, I've given
everywhere.
Money. I've given money to Laurel and Seaford.
I've given to Ocean Center. View,
see,
but
this is a communication.
This is a separate account they have for the trucks.
This is countywide.
Yeah.
Ability Consortium.
Right.
If I could, Laurel is part of the West Sister program that's countywide, and Laurel is one of the members of the consortium.
Yeah.
So if that helps in your decision making at all.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm just looking for a second. Would you like to second it?
Okay.
Second.
There we go.
We moved to second that we allot $1,500 from each of us for the cheer. Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
No.
Mr. Duke.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
Yes.
And Dell Tech today and tomorrow conference.
How much did they say it's going to cost?
Do we do anything? Do we normally do something?
They're requesting a $500 contribution to be a sponsor.
Make a motion.
We have no past history giving them.
Make a motion. We give $100 each.
But we do attend.
Make a motion. We give $100 each.
We'll send Stickles out there, sacrificial lamb, Mr. Sick. All right. Is there a second to that?
What was it, 100 each?
100 each.
I just need a second.
I'll say that, yeah.
Okay. Move second. We do $100 each. Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
No.
Mr. Duke.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers.
Yes. $100 is all right.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Susie.
Thank you. That's it.
I have any ordinances.
That's cool.
That's good.
The executive session's been done. Additional business for council.
Like a good dinner.
Thanks. Anybody out there?
Nope.
Okay. Got one suggestion. Something came up with a neighbor of mine had a... remember we talked, I had a guy here about windmills in front of us, right? Tell us all about them and
right.
How the future is some of this. Board of Adjustment handled a case in a residential neighborhood.
Right.
Okay, and actually granted, I think, one each on these on a lot that was probably less than a half acre or something. Anyway, she was very concerned about, you know, all kinds of standards, which I think we were discussing. Anyway, they got approved, and... they haven't been erected yet, but there's nobody going to really be able to follow them if they're done right or whatever. But they're supposedly they are noisy, and they can generate a certain amount of noise. And so they're being placed like next to this house, lady's house, which is probably 20, 30 feet or whatever. What I would ask the council to do, and maybe we'll put on an agenda next week, is to not accept any applications until we get some standards in place, because we'll get more.
We do have standards in place.
Not
now,
for
Mr.
Window.
Wright? Not as far as noise or any of those things, but as far as what lot size and all that particular.
No, we don't. We don't have anything.
Yes, we do. They have to go to the board.
Just said we don't.
They have to go to, they have to go to the Board of Adjustments for every one.
Right. What I'm saying is we have no standards. We talked with this guy who was promoting it, and he said we needed, and I think we said we needed to address it, and our staff said we need to address standards. What I'm concerned about is when they're getting placed on in residential communities where the houses are very close together and they do generate a certain amount of noise, and that means that goes on all the time. I don't know how much noise. The information she showed me showed it they generate quite a bit of noise. In many jurisdictions, they don't allow on anything over, they have a minimum lot size of like a half acre or an acre or something like that, whatever it is. I don't know what, I can't remember. But I'm just suggesting that we don't accept any more applications until we get something in place. I'm not saying we are against them. I think we just need to find out more about them and protect some of these people in some of these areas, because this guy got a variance on height and distance between houses. So it's very concerns me.
Someone was telling me that they had rented a property at one of the bay beaches, and there was apparently a windmill on the lot next door, and they said they wouldn't go back because it was noisy.
It's very, yeah, they're very noisy. They have this, this sound.
When the wind's blowing, they said it created a continuous sort of scraping sound. But
right. So
I know there's several different types of windmills also.
But we're not regulating
it. There's a blade type, and then there's a turbo type and all those types.
Okay, my suggestion is we just don't accept any more applications until we get something in place to address them.
Are we getting, I guess I'd ask Mr. Lawrence, are we getting a huge amount? I know we have more now than we've ever had.
Pretty regular over the last 6-8 months.
Right. Since the electric.
Every single meeting, but probably at least half of them have had
out. Okay.
Has the opposition raised the issue of noise?
Yes, yes, and it's been ignored. So I'm concerned that our board has no experience, nothing to look to get any guidance, and they're approving these. And I'm just saying, let's take a breather here till we get something in place. Seems awfully reasonable to me. How about you, Mr. Jones, Mr. President? What do you think?
The problem would
I'm
be.
I'm going to have to think about where I'd be.
You'd almost have to have a decibel meter to.
Well,
what level of noise
the way they address it, Jim, in most communities, they don't permit them on something less than a certain size because the homes are so close together.
Did the homeowners, is that a homeowner association at this particular?
No, in an individual.
No, I'm saying the place that you said the lady was complaining.
It's in an older subdivision that doesn't have any active type of board. Anyway, the Board of Adjustment.
Right.
She went and was concerned about it, and he said is noise. What I'm saying is, and Jim just alluded to, there's a noise issue. So what I'm trying to do is just to try to prevent too many of these problems, and I think that it's just in the best interest of these people that we have a board that really doesn't know what they're doing in this area, in this arena, and we wouldn't either. I mean, if somebody came up, we wouldn't know. So I'm just saying, hold it, and it shouldn't take too long to find out what other jurisdictions are doing.
And any commercial property in the county has to go to board, any. Right?
And just mostly they're AR.
Right.
In the AR district, if you have 5 acres or more, they're permitted.
Right.
If it's less than 5 acres, it has to go to the board, and it makes reference to windmills and wind power generators.
Is there 5 acres or more?
I just said.
Is it an issue?
It's permitted on 5 acres.
I would say under. Anything under 5 acres, then we should not accept any permits.
Have you heard it, Mr. Cole?
It hadn't been erected yet, but I've heard from people who've had them. This lady's very concerned because she went and opposed it, and it still got approved. Because you know what? It feels good, sounds good, because everybody's for wind power and all this other stuff. So, but nobody really knows how noisy they are.
You ought to try to visit one first before you make a decision like that.
See what the decibel reading is. Maybe it's...
Well, I'm just saying, I would be able to... I'd love to do that. I'm just saying, they are noisy. We just had testimony from our attorney. He said the complaints are noise. So if we can just not accept any on 5 acres or less, that'll give us time to come up with some kind of way to deal with it.
I'd say bring it back up January the 6th.
All right, Dale, wait. That's all right. I mean, somebody over in your side of the county might have a problem with it, and I'll just tell them to call me.
Since they are not prohibited under our ordinance, the only way not to accept applications would be some form of moratorium on that application.
Watch your mouth.
Well, that doesn't bother me either. I'm just saying, gentlemen, you got a problem here. We have nothing, no standards, no regulations, nothing to guide us, and we're sitting here approving these things.
Another option would be to get somebody from the industry and somebody from a homeowners group to come in and present, information.
Can we get somebody?
It would take time, Dale. We'd still have to have an ordinance, and we'd still have to put it into some kind of regulatory form. It would take months.
How about the guy from Dagsboro? Isn't he selling them?
Yeah, I don't know. From Millsboro, right?
Millsboro, Dagsboro.
Yeah, but he may be selling them.
Some presentation at a minimum to the board, because most of the applicants have been represented by the windmill installers.
Mm-hmm. So they're going to be quiet.
They're giving their reports based on what they want the board to hear. We have done some research through the computer and through other agencies to get more information, but we haven't put it all together yet.
Is there no consensus to do anything? Just tell me. Well,
I was kidding, Mr. Cole. Yeah, I think we should.
I think we ought to do something, but if you don't.
Do we have any installed in the county anywhere we could go listen how noisy they are?
Yeah, we have several installed. And they have some that are, most of them are in small lots.
I don't write to regular staff.
Can you find out where?
I can get you a list of where they all are. And
get us a list so that we can,
if it's
in our
county,
area.
Most of them are in
Can you give us a hit list in our packet this week? And we'll put it...
Yeah, I'll get them.
You're going to ride around and listen to them?
We can pull it through. We can pull it out through the data.
No, I'm just. Good God, never mind.
It's important.
Maybe I'd better wait till after the 6th.
Maybe you have to.
I think I will have to wait till the new guys come.
This is unbelievable. You can't refuse to take applications when they're.
You were complaining about noise and you don't want to visit the sites of a site because you don't want to waste the time?
I'm not an expert. I don't think if I stood there and came back.
You don't have to do that to me.
Oh, Lord, never mind. I can't believe it.
I understand that. But I said, if noise is the issue, then you ought to go ride and listen to one instead of take somebody's word that doesn't even have one beside them. Correct?
You got it.
Okay, thanks.
We'll wait till the 6th.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Pat, I suggest
new day, a new day will dawn.
That's right. The sun will come up.
Sussex County.
Lawrence, I guess, Mr. Griffith, would you like to start?
Yes.
Explain to everybody now that we're going into public hearings. Thank you.
We're getting ready to go into public hearings. The procedure we'll follow will be that when each there are three applications. When each application is called, Mr. Lank will tell counsel what happened for that application when the matter was before the Planning and Zoning Commission. After Mr. Lank has done that, have a little quiet, please. After Mr. Lank has informed us of what happened at the council level, each applicant will be allowed to present their case. After the applicant has presented their case, we'll recognize anyone else who's present who may have a question, an opposition, or a concern about the application. They'll also be given a chance to speak. Whether you're presenting or opposing, so to speak, if you wish to speak, you need to be recognized. Come down to the speaker stand, state your name, and give us your address so if we need to later determine who was making each statement, we'd be able to do that. We don't do this like a trial, so each side is not allowed to cross-examine the other. There's a presentation, then there's response, and then council makes a determination based on that. If the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval, council can act tonight. If Planning and Zoning Commission did not recommend approval, then council will typically wait until they get that recommendation. Does anyone have any questions? Thank you very much. Mr. Lank, first application.
Sir, thank you. Before the council, they have a packet. It's a report from the Planning and Zoning Commission related to the three public hearings for this evening. First application is change of zone number 1666, the application of Beaver Properties, LLC. It's an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map from a GR, General Residential District, to a GRRPC, General Residential District, Residential Planned Community, for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, for land lying east of Old Stage Road, being Road 213, and a quarter mile north of Milton Ellendale Highway, being Route 16, and also being north of the town of Ellendale, and to be located on 101.6 acres, more or less. In a report prepared for council, they were advised that the commission received an exhibit booklet. I have left copies, I believe I had three or four copies left before the council members to share. We received a traffic impact study, which is probably an inch and a half thick document, spiral bound, that is a part of the record, and I have that available if they would like to review it. The commission was advised that the technical advisory committee documents are also part of the record, and that requested deadline for comments was August 29th of 2008. It is also in the file. We heard specific comments in writing from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. Dale Wheatley, one of the owners, developers, was present with Dennis Schrader, attorney, and James Willie Jr. of GMB, which is George Miles and Burrow LLC, and gave testimony. Dolores Price, mayor of the town of Ellendale, was present in support of the project and stated that the project would be a benefit to the town. And additional testimony, there were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. On September 25th of 2008, the commission deferred action for further consideration. That was the day of the public hearing. On October 9th of 2008, the commission again discussed this application under old business. Mr. Burton stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of change of zone 1666 for Beaver Properties, LLC, for a change of zoning from GR, General Residential, to a GRRPC, based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the property is currently zoned GR, general residential. Under this application, the basic zoning and the density permitted in a GR zone will not change. Two, the county engineering department has indicated that adequate wastewater capacity is available for the project, and we also noted that central water will also be provided. Three, with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it, the RPC designation is appropriate since it allows the creation of a superior element through design ingenuity while protecting existing and future uses. It permits a design that duplicates the grid layout of the town of Ellendale. It also incorporates moderately priced housing units. Four, the project will not adversely affect the neighborhood or surrounding community, and it is consistent with growth patterns of the adjacent town of Ellendale. Five, according to the county's current comprehensive plan and the town's plan, the project is in a growth area. Six, the applicant has favorably addressed the item set forth in section 99-9C of the subdivision code. And seven, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. A, the maximum number of lots shall not exceed 405 units, with 309 of those units being in Sussex County. There shall be 233 single-family lots and 172 townhouses. 60 of those units shall also be moderately priced housing units spread evenly throughout the project. B, all entrances, intersections, interconnections, roadways, and multimodal improvements required by DLDOT shall be completed in accordance with DLDOT's requirements. C, the development shall be served as part of a Sussex County Sanitary Sewer District. The developer shall comply with all requirements and specifications of the County Engineering Department. D, the RPC shall be served by Central Water. E, stormwater management and erosion and sedimentation control facilities shall be constructed in accordance with applicable state and county requirements. These facilities shall be operated in a manner that is consistent with best management practices. F, there shall be sidewalks on both sides of all streets within the RPC. G, a system of street lighting shall be installed. H, the developer shall form a homeowners association responsible for the maintenance of the streets, roads, buffers, open spaces, stormwater management facilities, and other common areas. I, there shall be an active and passive recreational amenities provided. The location and description of the active amenities shall be subject to review of the commission and shown on the final site plan. J, a 50-foot wide bermed and vegetated buffer shall be established along the railroad. This shall be shown on the final site plan. K, upon completion of development, all silt fences shall be removed from the site. That word is spelled wrong, but it is silt. L, a school bus stop shall be provided with parking for at least 12 vehicles. The location of the bus stop area shall be shown on the final site plan. M, road naming and addressing shall be subject to review and approval of the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Departments, and the final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sedimentation control facilities. O, the final site plan shall include a landscape plan for all the open space and buffer areas, showing all the landscaping and vegetation to be included in those areas. And P, the final site plan shall include a phasing plan and shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that this application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions and stipulations stated, and that motion carried 5-0. Gentlemen, I received one additional comment from agency. It was a memorandum from the Sussex Conservation District. It was dated September 25th and received on September 30th. It makes reference to four soil types being primary on this site, that the applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sedimentation control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation after completion of construction, that there are no storm flood hazard areas affected, that there may be a tax district affected but did not give the title. That there are no off-site drainage improvements necessary, and that for on-site drainage improvements, the applicant follows state sediment and stormwater requirements. Attached to that memorandum is a copy of an aerial infrared, also a copy of the soil map, soil information legend, and map information sheet. Also selected soil interpretation for each of the soil types, and a report, two-page report on prime and other important farmlands. That's all I have, gentlemen, unless you have questions.
Mr. Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Griffin. Gentlemen, my name is Dennis Schrader, and I'm representing the interests of the applicants in change of zone 1666. I have with me Jim Willey, who is a professional engineer with George Miles and Buehr, and constitutes the design team. I also have Doug Simpson and Dale Wheatley, who are the owners of the project and are also the applicants. As you know, we have submitted two books for your review and consideration, including the larger book, which contains a number of documents, including the application, a development plan that makes reference to the moderately priced housing unit request, proposals that have been made. There is a tab that contains all of the information you would need to know concerning the county and the greater Ellendale comprehensive plan and the current zoning in those areas, stormwater plan, traffic and site circulation, utility providers, proposed findings of fact and conditions of approval, and of course, there are also covenants, conditions, and restrictions for your consideration. This application is for a moderately priced housing unit to be known as Ingram Village and is located immediately adjacent to the town of Ellendale. It's located, excuse me, on Old State Road, just a quarter of a mile north of Route 16, and contains 100.71 acres. 97.66 acres are in the county. 3.05 acres are within the town of Ellendale. Currently, the property is zoned GR General Residential and is vacant. The proposed use is for a GR RPC with the moderately priced housing unit component. With this grant, if permitted by you all, it will allow for the residential development of the property consistent with both the county's land use plan and the town's land use plan. And it's also consistent with the state strategies map, which has this in levels 2 and 3. We have provided you with all the necessary exhibits that would allow you to make this application or approve this application. The streets will be private. There is available sanitary waste disposal through the Sussex County Engineering Department. There is water supply available through artesian water. There are no delineated state wetlands. And at this time, I would ask Mr. Willey to come to the podium to give you a brief overview of the application and the design criteria that went into the design of this particular project. Then I'll return and we'll be available to answer questions that you may have. Mr. Willey?
Good evening. I'm James H. Willey, Jr., George Miles and Buehr, Delaware PE 13710.
Supposed to be no more than four, right?
As mentioned by Mr. Lank and Mr. Schrader, the project's located on the northerly side of town of Ellendale. We have the exhibit to my left rotated, so north is to the top of the page. You will notice to the right side of the development is the Norfolk Southern Railroad that was mentioned in Mr. Lank's report. To the north is a piece of property owned by Gladfelter. To the west is Old State Road, County Road 213, which has some existing homes between the road and our property. And on the southerly side, we're bounded by the existing town of Ellendale. And we have one tax ditch on site, which is the schoolhouse tax ditch. We're proposing 405 residential units. There's 399 of those are in the county. There are four that are completely in the town, and there are two proposed lots that are split by the existing town limit line. We're showing 233 single-family lots, 172 townhomes. I would call attention that the mixed single-family and townhome are in agreement with the state strategies for development in a level two area. In particular, per the strategies for state policies and spending 2004 update, it notes that level two development should be characterized by a mix of housing types and limited commercial uses, as well as interconnecting roads. This is further defined as compact development tending to include a mixture of uses
and a range of residential unit types that allows for higher overall densities than typical suburban development style. This design style draws its inspiration from traditional town development patterns and may be an excellent choice for areas where new development is to be integrated into an existing community, which is exactly what we're proposing to do here.
You're going to integrate it, to say that again, you're proposing to integrate this into an existing community?
Yes, right, into the town of Ellendale, yes, sir.
So you're going to annex in?
We are planning to annex. Mr. Schrader will address that after I finish my presentation.
Okay,
but that is the long-term goal, yes, sir. The Sussex County moderately priced housing unit program provides for a 20% density bonus when providing 15% of Tier A moderately priced housing. The moderately priced housing program requires the phasing of home types to include moderately priced units in each phase. We also have to have both single family and townhouse units in the moderately priced program. As shown on the rendered site plan, we have extended the streets in a gridded pattern following the existing layout of the town of Ellendale. And in the center to the top, you'll see a green space, which is a 5.6-acre village center park. Calls to mind for me as a native of Delmar, our state street park in Delmar. We also are showing a community structure with parking for the community activities. We had asked for sidewalks on one side of the road. We had shown sidewalks on both sides of the roads in the areas of the townhomes and the areas of the single family units. We were hoping to use sidewalk on the side of the road closest to the village park. Obviously, as moderately priced housing program, part of the challenge is to have infrastructure be economized and help with the overall price. Obviously, the Planning and Zoning Commission had a condition which they asked for the sidewalk to be shown on both sides. We do have room within the easement, within the right-of-way for sidewalks, but we would ask that you give consideration to our original plan. We used townhomes to increase the density near the Village Center Park and to provide a transition from an adjoining property that's shown as a commercial and industrial in the Ellendale comp plan, which I will point out.
Is that it?
The green space between the railroad and the easterly, southeasterly side of our project.
And that's part of the city limits, within the city limits?
I don't think that's within the city limits. I think it's within their...
Contiguous to it.
It's contiguous, and it's slated for annexation, and it's proposed to be commercial industrial.
Okay.
And, in fact, we have used an increased street section to provide access to that particular parcel. We're planning landscape buffers along the existing railroad tracks, as noted in the Planning Commission's conditions. And we are also showing a wooded buffer along the northerly side, which would be adjacent to the existing Gladfelter property. And then you will also notice that we used a water feature on all three sides of the main entrance, the future main entrance. With regard to phasing, our phasing starts, phase one is adjacent to the town of Ellendale, which, as the site plan is oriented, would be to the bottom. Phase two is the middle section. Phase three is the northerly section. As mentioned earlier, we did have plus comments and response, TAC comments and response, all of which I found to be typical for a project of this nature. With regard to housing types, we're proposing that the single family home construction be contracted to builders such as Barraca and Hovnanian. And also, the owners have entered into discussions with Milford Housing in order to build portions of the moderately priced housing units. Milford Housing has experience with this type of housing in the past. All of the moderately priced housing units will contain a minimum of two bedrooms. They will not be clustered within the community, but will be interspersed throughout the community so as to be indistinguishable from the market rate product. The townhome product is envisioned as similar to the Ryan Homes product, which I'm sure we've seen throughout the Delmarva Peninsula. You're probably all pretty familiar with that. The 60 moderately priced housing units are to be offered with a range of price from $152,000 to $222,000, depending on the number of bedrooms. Overall density of the project's 4.0 units per acre. Units proposed within the RPC is 399 plus the two, which are split by town and county. And then there are the other units, which are completely within the town. Required open space is 10.2 acres. Provided open space includes 5.3 acres, the majority of which is the village park. There's also a circle and a southerly portion, the center of phase one. And we have 14 acres of perimeter open space for a total of 20 acres. The other thing that I would just bring up, again, repeating a little bit, but the issue with regard to annexation, the town of Ellendale passed an approved an inspection agreement on June the 3rd, 08, where they will allow the county resources to provide the construction inspection of the infrastructure necessary to build a development. On July 1st, 08, the town of Ellendale passed an ordinance agreeing with their recommendations for the inspection agreement.
Well, they only have four homes in their, I mean, in the county area, we would have done it anyway, right? I mean, what,
yes.
We didn't need an agreement for that. What does the agreement cover? Just those four or five homes that are in the town?
Yes, the infrastructure within the town.
Presumably, I assume it would cover all the others if they are annexed.
Well, that's,
yes.
They don't the question have, is whether they annex or not, because is there any guarantee that they'll annex?
Yes.
There is a guarantee that, okay.
I'm assuming that town doesn't have an RPC ordinance, so that's probably why they're seeking approval under the county ordinance before annexation.
Okay, I'm just wondering what kind of guarantee there is on in place for annexation. So whenever you get a chance, yeah. Go ahead, he can go.
I'm almost done.
He brought up annexation again.
George likes it. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's, I'm very close.
Talking about this agreement, the agreement, right. They only have four homes right. In the town.
Right, you're right.
Mr. Schrader will address that.
He'll
cover that.
I suppose it's being thrown out as some benefit to the county, and that the county would receive compensation for doing those inspections.
The roads will be built to the county private road standards. As mentioned, there is the schoolhouse tax ditch. Mr. Kelly Pearson of EnviroTech is processing the necessary permits to realign the tax ditch. We've already had preliminary meetings with Brooks Cahill, Denrec Drainage Division, to start processing the hydraulic computations and to initiate the court order change for the tax ditch relocation. And in fact, one of the plus comments actually pointed out that we started that process early, and we got a positive plus comment. Okay, also just to close quickly with regard to wastewater, the majority of the site is already within the Ellendale Sanitary Sewer District. Again, I'm going to wander over to the board.
There was a lot line adjustment done before the application was filed. Originally, this corner of the property was in Gladfelter, and they did a property swap so that this line could be basically part of the rectangle.
So the only part of the project which is not currently within the Ellendale Sanitary District is that small portion that was affected by the lot line revision. John Ashman issued a letter on March 19, 2007, indicating the current system has capacity for this project. The collection of the gravity sewer within the project will extend from the existing lines in town of Ellendale. And we anticipate that we may require a small pump station for the northerly portion of phase three. Obviously, all sewer construction will be in accordance with Ordinance 38. As previously mentioned, artesian water will provide the central water. We've provided a 3-acre parcel for their use, which is adequate for the wellhead protection, state and county setbacks. It will also provide room for a water treatment system and building as needed. And an elevated water storage tank to provide domestic capacity and fire flow capacity. Artesian applied for the CPCN on July 6, 2008, and Artesian provided a letter to serve dated February 5, 2008, and they also have executed a water service agreement with the owners. And that covers what I wanted to present. Thank you.
On the road,
there could be some questions. Could you remain for a moment?
Yeah, just we just talked about new road standards or anything. Are they in effect? Or are these
road agreement? we had the road standards, road agreement.
With our county roads now, we've increased the standards, right? So they're going to build them to the new standards?
I believe that's what he said, yes.
No, I don't think he said that. He just said they're going to build them to county
standards. I said they would be in accordance with county standards.
Whatever the county standards are, are the county standards now been upgraded, Lawrence? Do you know?
Effective January 1st.
January 1st.
So that means they will be in the new ones or been? They won't.
There's a problem with that, Mr. Cole. The problem is that the county engineering department in drafting the standards failed to take into consideration that many of the projects that would be approved on or after January 1 of 2009 have been in the design and permitting process for 2.5, 3 years, mm-hmm. and may require significant re-engineering in order to comply with the new standards. And it's sort of like the wellhead protection ordinance that was adopted earlier this year. The key to success is that the county needs to acknowledge that anything that's been in a pipeline or had preliminary site plan approval or final site plan approval is under the old regulatory standards, not under the new regulatory standards. I've also spoken to a number of design professionals, not Mr. Willie, but others, who are telling me that the county engineering department has already begun to impose the new regulations, even though they're not in effect, and there is some unhappiness about that.
I think that's the reason, Mr. Schrader, that we postponed it till January the 1st, because we knew they were in the pipeline, and if our engineering department is enforcing these new regs already before January the 1st, they can't do that.
I don't know that firsthand, but I have heard that.
Well, if you find out the org, you need to let us know.
I'll be glad to do that.
Absolutely.
You're not spreading rumors, are you? Just
you know, it's secondhand, not third or fourth, so it's got to be reliable.
It's got to be pretty close.
Lawyers don't lie, will they?
And it's coming from a lawyer, too.
No, it's coming from engineers and design people. To answer your question, Mr. Cole, I think the answer would be that they'll comply with whatever the standards are that are in effect.
Well, that's what I was just trying to get a clear answer on. Okay.
And that's what the answer is, but it's not that clean.
All right.
I have a question. I'm not sure. Yes, when you were talking about the sidewalks, of the down the right-hand side, that's the townhouse area where the lots appear to be smaller, the darker yellow?
Yes, these are townhouse areas along the Village Park, Village Center, and then townhouses for the increased density next to possible future commercial activity, transitioning to the single-family homes, which then abut existing single-family homes. And in the areas where we had the townhome product, we already were showing the sidewalk on both sides of the street. In these areas of the single family, we were showing the sidewalk on the side of the street nearest to the Village Center Park from the supposition that folks could walk across the street and then pick up the sidewalk.
What would the sidewalks, what does the applicant propose as far as sidewalks on the streets that divide the townhouses from the single family?
There are sidewalks on both sides of this street. That's the street that divides the two. Mm-hmm. There's also sidewalks on both sides of Washington.
But P&Z wanted it on the narrower street, on the side street.
Yeah, I guess in the simplest terms, the only place that we didn't have sidewalk on both sides were in these blocks of single family.
And you had sidewalks on one side of the street, it was just on one side you didn't. So it's only on one half of that.
Both sides on all the throughfares, but the small sides.
So you're saying, and your argument was earlier, was the cost of doing that. You would like to save the money
also,
from having to do that.
We would like to save.
It's impervious surface, and it is the cost of duplicating sidewalks or doubling.
Well, in most small towns that I'm familiar with, they had sidewalks on both sides of the street when you tried to mimic the town, you know, layout. The small town layout with this proposed layout, right? And that was.
We did extend an existing
what I heard
street
here,
pattern.
Right?
Yes.
But you got 60 moderately priced in there. You're trying to hold the cost down, and isn't our sidewalks now got to be 5 feet to meet ADA?
Yes.
Why?
That's what most of them have been presenting.
Right.
And that's driving the cost up.
I had one other question.
You think there's a guarantee that
this is going to be built in phases? Are the amenities all in the third phase? That park up there that looks like it's a big green open area?
Yes. With regard to the phasing,
there's an exhibit in the book, but it's basically three even phases. From my hand south is phase one, this is phase two, and this is phase three. I would have to actually check the...
Would there be any, I guess the question was, would there be any amenities for the constructed during the first two phases?
It says 125 until the 125th is, you got to see how...
Slide this book up.
So about a third of the house would be built before the amenities had to be completed.
And they also didn't have a specific amenities package.
Yeah, I'm saying, where is he? I was looking for it.
The commission referenced that in their stipulation that there shall be active and passive recreational amenities provided. The location and description of the active amenities shall be subject to the review of the commission and shown on the final site plan. They didn't get specific about pool, tennis courts, basketball courts, or anything else.
So the commission could require some form of amenities.
Yes. But
they left it in that form so to get the developer's input since there aren't any planned.
Sometimes you see that some amenity will be constructed by the 100th or 150th. Right.
We're not seeing anything because there isn't a plan.
This is in the book, but
right.
The yellow, light yellow color is first phase two includes the community amenities.
And what are the community amenities? We just had a discussion, there isn't any.
There's a
big piece of green
clubhouse. Village Center Park.
And what do you do in the clubhouse? Just kind of meet?
Club.
Ping pong table?
Hang out, man.
Ping pong table?
Play dominoes.
And the big green is what? Just for big green. So there's no amenities, we're saying. But the planning and zoning has said they're going to expect you all to come up with an amenity package?
Yes.
And you've agreed?
Yes.
It's a required if it's approved in the manner presented by the commission.
And where would those be located, Mr. Schrader, if you do now concede that you're going to have some amenities, where would they be?
There were two areas identified during the commission hearing, one of which would be in the park area to the north end, and there was also a request that there be some amenity areas be placed at the south end closer to
like
the
town. Have him point this.
It's maybe a little difficult to see, but there's also green space around the traffic circle. It was suggested that perhaps something would be appropriate in that location, because that would be less walking distance, obviously, for folks on the southern portion of the project as opposed to heading all the way up.
Right.
If the traffic circle area is going to be utilized for future access to a commercial area, that may not be an appropriate location for recreational use. Mm-hmm.
You may have to use up some, I guess, of your lot. Your big plaza there, whatever it's called. When I first look at this, it looks like our old cookie cutter stuff, but tell me why this is a superior design. Again, I'm losing that part of it too, because we're seeing no amenities. We're seeing just cookie cutter layout. And I thought we've moved beyond into that creative superior design area that we're getting all this nice development. So could you tell me what is superior about this design?
Well, what is superior about this design is that we made an effort to integrate the street network and the community with the existing town. The other factor here with regard to superior design, we're talking about a moderately priced housing unit. We're not talking about a gated community. So obviously the amenities are going to be on a different level.
But those
what we were shooting for.
You're saying that people in gated communities expect more amenities and better amenities than people that aren't in gated communities?
I'm saying that if you're charging $1 million for a house, there's more room for the amenities and whatever else goes into that package.
Okay.
The statement made at the commission level presented that they're trying to blend in with the design of the town of Ellendale. Mm-hmm. With the blocks and straight streets,
well,
as it is in some typical Delaware.
The gridded rectilinear streets were done on purpose, and I mentioned earlier the excerpt from the state planning strategy calling for the mixture of uses and mimicking the existing town. So with regard to our design philosophy, we were shooting for that.
Well, it's designed to appeal to working families. Working families mean children, lots of children probably in that community.